it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Welcome in to CHGO Bears After Dark, back where it's meant to be, where it all started with yours truly before Greg Braggs kicked me out of the show, and I'm finally able to get back because Braggs has been put on a one-night suspension because he's watching the Bulls game with our crew. Woot is here, as per always. Corey Wooten, I haven't seen you in a minute. Great to see you, Wooten. Appreciate you.
Oh man, I feel like it's been a minute to see you, man. I definitely like having you a part of the show more so than Braggs. Don't tell him I said that, right? You know, sometimes it's always good to have the bricklayer there, but it's always good to have that calm, you know? And tonight, are you drinking some, what do you call a drink? What do you?
I am planning on having a couple of cockies, but we're going late night tonight, because I do have a very key 9 o'clock tennis match tonight. So I got to stay sober, unfortunately, for Bears After Dark to respect the game. But then late night tonight, you know, we'll bust out a cocky or two, and it'll be a good night for one and all. How was your turkey? I know you're fired up to talk about the defense, which we're going to do in a minute here. Renetta, good to see you. I hope that your situation is better, by the way. As she's writing that, I would rather watch this than the Bulls game. Thank you, Renetta. But apparently I'm coming in kind of loud. Hold on there.
We met Renetta a couple times. I met her when I played for the Bears, but she came to the draft party. And you guys all met her. Yeah, she's one of the diehards. Like, Renetta, shout out to you.
A leader amongst leaders. Crystal is here. We're ready to go. Apparently, my mic's a little bit louder. I hope it's better now. Steven, let me know. Appreciate you. Much better. Okay, good. I'm a rookie. It's all over again. So I'll get right into it tonight because we're going to do this. We're going to the hour of power here. Woot, I texted you today and you're like, what excites you about it? And you're like, the defense. And I was thinking to myself before I text you, he's going to want to talk about the defense. He's going to want to talk about Montez. Yep. He's going to want to talk. I mean, Big Dex looks like he's coming on here. I made the title tonight like it has Montez, you know, basically unlocking this whole D. Is that giving him too much credit or is that accurate? Because, I mean, really, you know, that was the big impact player that they traded for. He's supposed to, you know, rise everybody up around him, and it seems like it's happening.
Yeah, it seems like he is definitely rising this defense. And I think people were so critical in his first game, expecting him to just go off and have three sacks. I'm like, this is a new scheme. He's trying to understand the defense, understand exactly what's going on. That's what we saw in the first game, him kind of playing slow. And that's what you expect a lot of times, especially when a guy is not familiar with the scheme. And every game, he's just continued to get better with the pressures. Now the sacks, like back-to-back games of slamming opposing quarterbacks to the ground. In this game, 1.5 sacks. And that rushing cover is starting to work together, right? We're seeing some of the blitzes with some of the linebackers, but Sweat and company, your guy, Javon Dexter, really starting to flash. And I told you, once he can all put it together, it's going to be a scary thing to watch because people were wondering why I was so down on the pick. And I was like, the thing is, he wasn't scheme ready, right? I knew he was a project, but he continues to get better and better. And Carm, he hasn't even scratched the surface of what he can do. He's still playing high at times. His get off is still slow. But imagine when he can put everything together, right, with the get off, the pad level, his strength, his size, his quickness. And the thing that I hate about the league right now is every time, like when he got that personal foul, Please tell me how somebody 6 foot six, 315 to 320 pounds is going to stop while they're going in there 1-2 and be able to stop and avoid a hit on a quarterback. That doesn't make any sense. That does not make any sense at all. It's one of the worst calls in all of football right now. And I think it's holding back because there was a guy, what was his name? He used to play for the Rams. He was the one that talked about dinosaurs on Hard Knocks. William Johnson, I think. He was a defensive end. And
was it William Hayes?
From Miami. Willie Hayes, that's what it was. Yes. Willie Hayes. Good call right there. So he went to Miami, right? And he was playing defensive line there. And he tried to avoid the quarterback. And he tore his ACL trying to do that. So this whole nonsense has to stop. You should be allowed 2 steps, be able to hit somebody. Now, if we're talking about you doing extra stuff, slamming somebody to the ground, that should be a flag. But you cannot stop a big fella from coming full speed at you and expect somebody 300-plus pounds to stop. It just doesn't work like that. Cars don't work like that. Humans don't work like that.
You just took us on a left turner. I'm looking up your guy. William Hayes, confronts his disbelief in dinosaurs. He didn't believe in them, huh? I'm gonna go.
I remember that from Hard Knocks. Him talking to Chris Long, I think it was at the time. But yeah, I thought that was the funniest part of it. But I think it is a stupid rule. You gotta let the big fellas be able to complete 2 steps. Right now, if we're talking about some extra stuff, slamming people. That should be a flag right there. But you cannot stop momentum. It is what it is.
Right. And I don't get how the league doesn't, you can make a rule and then realize the rule is ridiculous, go back and say, hey, look, this is not the intent of what we're trying to do. We didn't want dudes deliberately driving somebody into the ground further and trying to, bury him 6 feet deep. But in a natural football play, which you would be relying on officials to use their judgment, but I think these people are smart enough to realize what is. Maybe not, I don't know. It real sucks. Bottom line, to your where you started with Dex, I was watching him closely 3 weeks ago, and I'm like, your get off is still terrible. You're late. You're not there. So he has come a long way in a short period of time to be able to be impacting the game like he is. And he was only credited with one quarterback hit and one tackle yesterday, but he's flashing all over the place. And it's like, you just got here. So how high is up for this guy? I don't know, but he ain't going to get worse. So this is, it's a celebration, really.
He can only get better from here. I've said this, he has all the tools, but it's just a matter of putting it all together. And what's the most impressive is still with slow get off, still with pad level high at times. That just shows how freakish of an athlete he is to be able to get home, to be able to push the pocket, to get hits, to get tackles. So I'm looking forward to him when he can really trust it. And I think this offseason is going to be huge for him. If I were him, I would have him train at a D-line specific place, right? So somewhere like Chuck Smith, one of those D-line gurus, and work with him on your pad level, on your pass rush, work on all your get off, and next year hit the ground running, right? This is your year. You'll be the 3 technique of the future. And all of a sudden, a guy that's 6'6", 315 pounds, that runs a 4.7, 4.8, coming off that 3 technique position, that length, that strength, that quickness, I mean, that's going to be really hard to stop. So that would be my advice to him going into the offseason. Really focus on all those things. The scheme really, really held him back, right? And that was his coaches at Florida, right? It's simple as that. I've never seen a scheme, even in a read and react, where people get off that slow. It was mind-boggling, but it's good to see him continue to improve.
I loved his coach too at Florida. He came out with us in the summertime, but he just got let go, Sean Spencer. But I'm not saying that he was leading that scheme either. Somebody should hire that guy. He was awesome on the show, so give that guy another chance. Which, by the way, shout out our guy David Braun, man, Coach of the Year. Go Cats, Woot! Your guy got some props here for the season.
How about that, right? Turning this season around. I kind of before the season started. I do a podcast, and I was saying about 6 wins. I thought this would be the year when you don't expect anything from Northwestern to get 6 wins. I said maybe 7. They ended up getting 7 with a huge comeback win against Illinois. Seems like they're starting to play together, and they're going bowling. I mean, who would have thought that with everything, all the hazing allegations and everything going on with them, that Minnesota game was really the turnaround from them when they were down big, came back in the third quarter, took it to OT, and that heck of a play to the tight end to win the game. And I think that was the kind of turning point in their season. And speaking of turning points, can this be the turning point for the Bears?
Okay, Woot, let's talk about that. Let's talk about a turning point. You did not score a touchdown yesterday. Mm-hmm. You won a football game for the first you threw 21 passes at or behind the line of scrimmage. The Bears had it won a they're 0-28 in the NFL this year for teams who did not score a touchdown in games. The Bears are the first one to win one. The Bears hadn't won a game like this since 1993. I mean, this is not a conventional thing like, hey, okay, we figured it out. But the defense is getting better. Mm-hmm. Justin did take him down the field, got him in position for a game-winning kick, which he hasn't done to this point. We can put that in there. I don't know about a turning point, but I do think there is something, I'm not exactly sure what, but there is something starting to build here. They're winning more games, 3-3 in their last six. I know it's none of this sexy. You're beating them 16. No one's about that. Minnesota, that team is going to be, it's going to be a miracle if they make the playoffs the way they looked last night. But I do think there is at least something building here. Do you think so?
I think so, especially defensively, right? What we're seeing defensively the past 2 weeks is really elite play as far as turning the football over, especially in this game. Anytime you can get four picks in a game, you know, they pressure the quarterback constantly, making Dobbs throw errant throws. Shoot, Jalen Johnson should have about six picks this season. He dropped a bunch. He's playing lights out right now. So it's good to see him playing well. It's good to see the other secondary playing well as well. And now Sweat is starting to elevate their game. So I'm looking forward to them continuing to progress. Right. And people were really down upon the Sweat trade. And I was just kind of scratching my head because, you know, I've been really big on him, his length, his strength, his ability. I thought he's a great left end, has that extreme length. He's able to push the pocket and get home. And we're just seeing him get more and more comfortable in this scheme. So I really like it. It addresses your one end position that you had to take care of. Now in the offseason, you know, you can worry about the other end or potentially a three technique. And who knows, if Dexter keeps coming along, you know, maybe he could potentially be that three technique of the future, right? The only thing that's holding him back is get off, Carm. Because I've talked about this Tampa 2 scheme. Is a defensive lineman's dream. You're able to get off the football and not have to worry about your gap, because what penetration creates your gap? It boggles my mind because it's so hard to trust when you first get into it, because you're like, this goes against everything we've ever been taught. Gap discipline, stay in your gap. But the thing is, if you penetrate up the field, you set the edge. And that's why some people don't trust it, because think about Dexter, right? He's in that two-gap scheme. He's like, I have to stay in my gap and all this. And it's a thing of just not trusting it. So once he can trust it, along with some of these other guys on the team, I really feel like, you know, a guy like him, a guy like Pickens, can really start to come along. And, you know, I think that's why Justin Jones has been really good in the run game, because he's really been getting off well in running situations. So I'm looking forward to seeing their continued progression in the scheme.
Do you think it's fair to say, Woot, that they are one more impact defensive lineman away from having, I don't know about elite defense, that's the word that's popping in my mind, let's just say just shy of that, upper level.
Two. I think they're two away from. Okay. I think they're away from a dominant pass rushing three technique, and a dominant right end. Because it seems like Sweat, his home is the left end, which I love. 6'6", long arms, you know, 270. Really play that left side. Now we need a dominant pass rusher, whether that's a guy, you know, that could put up 12 to 14 sacks. You put them on both sides and then a three technique in there, watch out now. When they slide the protection one way, all of a sudden Sweat's got a one-on-one. You slide the other way, all of a sudden the three technique's got the one-on-one. That's why the three technique is such a critical position, because they're usually, you know, in situations one-on-one, right? You try to put the three technique where they're sliding away from you. So you have that true one-on-one. That's why Tommy Harris, that's why Henry Melton were able to really make their mark in this scheme. You know, Warren Sapp for years in Tampa, because it really puts the emphasis on that one-on-one, on that three technique, right? You're one-on-one in space. You know, most of these three techniques in the Tampa 2 are really highly athletic guys. You know, Henry Melton played running back, right? Tommy Harris, quick as a cat, you know? Warren Sapp, for as big as he was, nimble feet, right? Quick as heck. So if they can get that going, I think that would really make a difference, because that's when this scheme really flourishes, when you have great rushers, and especially in particular the three technique.
What are you seeing? And I want to get to the offense too here coming up in a second, but what are you seeing from Tremaine Edmonds, Woot?
Yeah, I'm seeing a guy that's flying around, man. Super athletic. Sorry, Carm, you're cutting out a little bit. No,
you roll me, Woot. Like I got, like, he's finally, to me, we're seeing him a lot more. I don't know what the difference is, if it's just what's going on up front, but something's happening that I'm liking seeing. I'm curious what your reaction is to how Tremaine's settling in now. Woot, you muted yourself, I think.
Yeah, we lost your audio there.
Where?
There you go.
There it is.
Oh, you got me?
Yeah, there it is.
Okay. Sorry. No. I was just like, what we're seeing right now is him finally being able to play, right? Because the defensive line is playing so much better, right? Justin Jones, you know, Andrew Billings, Montez Sweat, all these guys are now playing a lot better. And what it does is it takes the pressure off the linebacker. So we're seeing them able to flow and go. You know, those guys are playing really well right now. And it's hard to play well when the defensive line isn't getting penetration, isn't taking the blockers off you.
Hey, if you got him going and TJ's been rock solid, mm-hmm. Sanborn, my guy, is still representing 57 in a positive way. Now we got Montez. Now we got Dex. Now we got the back four. Yep. I mean, I don't know. I think Eddie's in trouble as far as next year, and because of his contract, and it won't be super expensive to let him go. But I liked what I've seen from Tyreek. To me, I'm paying Jalen. I don't. You're paying Jalen Johnson, right? Or am I nuts?
100%. I mean, he's a true lockdown corner. I mean, he showed nothing but that. Like, it's unbelievable. Like, how he's just elevated his game. And I think the proof is in the pudding. If you don't pay him, somebody else is going to pay him. So I would rather retain him, because then you drafted talent, you kept him in-house. He's a talented guy. Imagine, Carm, when we have Montez Sweat on the left side, we have a dominant dude on the right side, and then we have a three technique that's a guy that gets 7 to 10 sacks a year. Imagine how deadly that defense is going to be with the linebacking core that we have, right, and the secondary as well. Lights out. Look at the way they're playing now, missing two dominant pass rushers. So imagine what that can do. So that's why when people are talking about, hey, what are we going to do in this draft? We got two really high picks, it looks like. And what are we going to do with this? And you know, the quarterback conversation has come up. And, you know, I'm very anti that, because I do think, you know, Fields has to improve for sure in certain areas, right? But I feel like he has been playing, you know, those two fumbles. Can't do that, right? But how he bounced back in a game where everybody was so critical about he can't finish the big game and all this. And I know the game was a low-scoring game, and people could talk about how boring it was and this. Two really good defenses, right? Guys making turnovers. But when the game was on the line, 3rd and 10, you know, to stand in the pocket, deliver that ball to DJ Moore and clinch the game, I think that was huge, because especially after turning the ball over twice when the game's on the line, right? Most people would be in their head, you know. But he rebounded, right? And the thing is, early on in the game, the play calling was awful for majority of the game. How many swing screens do we call in this? Like, I'm just trying to figure this out, right? Just help me figure this out, right? So you're trying to figure out what you have from Justin Fields, right? Let's see what he can do passing the ball. Okay, let's just throw a side screen. Let's throw another side screen. Let's throw another side screen. Three in a row, right? First, second, and third down. But you're trying to figure out what you have in Justin Fields. That just doesn't make any sense at all. you know, when you're trying to evaluate and figure out what's going on?
Yeah, it's the same question that I asked today. Not helping him, you are not separating yourself as an offensive coordinator. You are very much, maybe you're here, maybe you're not. Is this what you want to show the rest of the league, that I can call 7,000 screens? So I don't get it. Let's talk about that in a second here. But let's shout out our friends at DraftKings. Can you believe we're this deep into the NFL season? Got to make every second count. DraftKings Sportsbook, you can make the most out of every game tape. Bet on your favorite teams for a shot at winning the big bucks. New customers, you can score $150 instantly in bonus bets, betting $5 on any matchup. Listen, if you took the Bears yesterday, you got a couple dollars, but I made some money yesterday on my man Roschon Johnson. Thank you, DraftKings. 23.5 yards. I gave that one out on pregame. My guy Gary Ross cashed in. Good job, Gary, listening to me. Rare that he does that. Congratulations to him. Official betting partner of the NFL. Download the app now and use that code CHGO. New customers can score $150 instantly in bonus bets for betting just $5 on the NFL. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with the code CHGO. The crown is yours. All right. Woot, you want to keep Justin Fields? We get the number one overall pick. Forget Caleb Williams. Forget Drake May. No.
Yep. No. I would. And I know this is controversial for a lot of people, but I just think, given the situation, I think we can all agree that the play caller is bad, right, across the board. Even when Tyson Bagent was in there, he's been so inconsistent and up and down, right? What we saw in the Detroit game, right, do you think Justin Fields played well enough to win that game? Yes.
Of course he did. Of course he did.
For the most part, the game plan was well. When you had a game plan, when you got him on the move, looks pretty good, right? So my thing is, like, I feel like they're holding him back, and this should have been a big progress year. And we saw his progress get stunted this year. I think he's super talented, right? We all know that he's super talented, right? I think, especially coming back in the Detroit game, right, when he was out for a while, I thought he played pretty well, being rusty, not being fresh and all that, like not having consistent games in a row. This game, the turnovers killed him, right? Other than that, I thought passing the ball for the scheme that they called, I thought he did okay, right? It's kind of hard to get in a rhythm, Carm, when you got 15 swing screens. Like, I don't understand that. So my only thing is like this: if you build around this team, right? You build the defensive line, right? You continue to build that offensive line. I am a firm believer in that wins championships. Obviously, you have to have playmakers. Maybe add another piece at wide receiver, right? Because you're going to have a decision, because Darnell Mooney is in his fourth year this year, right? Correct?
That's right.
Yeah, so you have a decision to make what you're going to do as far as receiver. But I'm just a firm believer in the teams that do the best and are most consistent usually have the best offensive defensive lines, right? San Francisco, Philly. It's just frustrating because, yeah, this year has kind of been a wash as far as offense. Defense has been improving, but yeah, I feel like it's a wasted year as far as progress. We should be way further along than we are offensively.
We appreciate everyone's checking out Bears After Dark tonight. Braggs is normally here, but we upgraded, so he's taking the night off. Apologize for my slight lag here, which is apparently happening every now and then. But can I get Big Cram's comment up here, Steven, one more time? Because we're gonna do this. $9.99, my man, Big Cram. Shit. We got CHGO biggest Fields believer versus Mr. Ty Curious right here himself. Just let the matchup begin. Also, this is early, but how hard is it to switch from the 4-3 to 3-4 just in case the Bears switch? Why don't you tackle that and just to put it out there, and I don't want to cause any controversy, but I think if Tyson Bagent was quarterbacking last night, the Bears would have been in the end zone at least one time. I'm just saying. But go ahead. Give me the 4-3-3-4.
I think for what they have right now, I think they're more suited for the 4-3. I think they just need another piece at the end position, because I'm thinking about it from a standpoint, like, I think Sweat potentially could be a stand-up rusher, but I think he's better as a 4-3 left end, right? And I think just the way the linebacking core is, that would shake some things up here or there and then the way the secondary is playing. I think you just need two guys at the defensive line position. You need a dominant three technique, and you need a great pass rusher on the other side. I feel like if they can address those things, 4-3 would be the great thing. So I wouldn't like them to switch. I think the 4-3 would be better suited for the personnel that they have.
All right, I think we got one more super chat. Pop it on in there, Steven. Who do we got? Let's $5 from my guy, Zeeshan. Did you see the clip of Kyler getting punched? Kind of duo mask and punched him. That was a weird moment in the game. You know what bothers me more about that play than anything else is that Kyler was not involved in the play. He's trailing it 30 yards back. And you got officials like looking around, what can I call? Dude, look the other way. It has no impact on anything. We don't need you to be, you know, the hall monitor here. That's not the job that I'm looking for you to do.
Exactly. Do you have your bathroom pass, sir? No, I got to use the bathroom, man. Get out of here. Get out of my face.
Yeah, don't worry about if I took my damn ass helmet off.
Exactly. I mean, the thing is, his face mask was hanging there. He tried to plead his case, but everybody, once they have the whistle, all of a sudden they're like, oh, this impacts the play. I got to call it. It was the stupidest thing. Sometimes refs take their job a little too serious. That didn't have anything to do with the play. I feel like he's not the first one to take his helmet off after a play. Like I feel like I've seen a couple instances this year where that's happened and no flag. But
well, if he was taking it off to like let every, you know, show himself off, that okay, if you don't want that because you guys just want to rep the jersey and not the actual individual, which is disgusting, by the way. But if that's what your thing is, that's not what he was doing. So again, yeah. You can use some brain power to make decisions. That was just poor. And you know, spirit of the rule, letter of the law. That dude, give me the spirit official every single day of the week. All right, look, let's just talk about Justin for a second. It's going to get talked out ad nauseum, but I like Justin. I've said it a zillion times. As a dude, as a leader, like when I watched him in the locker room afterwards, yo, guys, thank you. I should not have fumbled twice. I appreciate the support. Like all of that, it shows how much he means in that locker room, which is cool. But Woot, you tell me. And can't seem to find anyone. You get the video of, you know, EQ's just sitting there like waving his hand like, hey, over here. And I'm just wondering, you know, is he ever going to be a guy who can process at the level that you really need to, you know, be a true impact player at the quarterback position, the toughest spot to play in the NFL? I still have my doubts.
Yeah, it's tough, right? Because there's certain instances where you see him and you're like, yes, you have to make better decisions, right? You got to hold on to the football. You got to be able to see the full field. But I do think at the same time, right, people are more critical on Justin Fields than a lot of other quarterbacks out there, right? Like a guy like Josh Allen is not playing very well right now, right? And I think people, obviously he has a different track record and he's had a different level of success in this league. But the thing is, sometimes people play bad. It's as simple as that, right? You have a bad game. I think with Justin Fields has a bad game in this, turning the ball over twice, fumbles, everything is blown up, right? He has to be better at that. You got to be able to take care of the football. And in certain situations, you got to have your eyes down the field. I think he's gotten better, especially in the Detroit game. I thought he was pretty well about how he was reading the field, his progressions and all that. Minnesota is a tough team to play. And I don't think people give them enough credit because they bring the house. They give you different looks. It is a tough defense to play at home, especially the way Brian Flores has those guys playing. So they played a lot of teams with decent quarterbacks and they've really struggled. So I think the biggest thing is, yes, there's areas he need to improve, but I think that the biggest thing is they did win the game, right? So regardless of how bad it was at times with turning the football over, the two fumbles, yeah, that cannot happen. But as far as the game plan he was given, other than the fumbles, I mean, what do you expect to do from that standpoint, you know?
Right, but but we're talking chicken egg, right? Like, he's in the game because doesn't trust him to sit back there when they're coming half the time. So he thinks he's going to get himself killed and the offense. So let's just try to get it out quickly because he's not going to be able to process this quickly. So let's do this. You know, my problem with Getsy, and I thought Hogue made a good point. Like, hey, you can make an adjustment in the middle of the game here, dude. Like, getting the ball out quick against them, I get it. That's what you have to do. But how you're doing it, let's have multiple options here. Like, one of the best plays of the game yesterday was, you know, Cole Kmet's up there. He's blocking. He releases. He's free in the middle of the field. That's an easy throw. Bang. Nailed him. And Kmet can run. He's picked up 25 yards.
It's almost like a screenplay. Where were the screenplays? Yeah. I'm talking about straight screen, not side screens. Like, when a team brings the house on you, what are they susceptible to? A running back screen. Yeah, a tight end screen there. So I just it's kind of hard for me to understand because the thing is, right, my thing is like this. If you don't trust Justin Fields and all this, then don't play him. Simple as that. Like, I don't know why you're playing him if you feel like you don't trust him. The whole thing, what they're saying in the media is not matching up to what they're doing. We need to see what we want from him, right? Last week's game against Detroit, we need to see when the game's on the line and they took the ball out of his hands. And then in this game, when the game's on the line, he completes a nice pass and, you know, they kick the game-winning field goal. Yeah, there were some things that he didn't do well early on. But so my thing is like this. I just didn't understand what they're saying versus what they're doing.
Yeah.
You know, it just doesn't match up, right? If you're trying to evaluate from him, and the thing is like this, they're either going to make a decision where they're going to keep him or they're potentially going to maybe trade them. So my thing is like this. If you don't feel confident in him, why even play him? If you're not trying to evaluate and see what you have from him, then why throw a side screen? You can have Bajan do that. You can have anybody do that. You can have Khalil Herbert be the quarterback back there and do that.
Like, is Roschon Johnson now morphing into, you know, the top running back on this team, or is it that more of a – is him playing 75% of the snaps last night, 74 to be exact, because – Minnesota blitzes and he's a better guy picking up the blitz than Herbert.
Exactly.
But that was interesting. Let's I'm going to do an exercise here. Carmen Woot, mainly Woot, can talk directly to the Bears coaching staff right now. You are in the bye week. You have 2 weeks, come back out against Detroit at home, 5 games left, Lions, Cardinals, Browns, mm-hmm. Packers, Falcons. You have a little breather here to try to figure out exactly what you want to do. How do you want to use these 5 games offensively, defensively, to get the maximum production, give yourself information you can possibly have going into the offseason? I think they already know, in essence, you know, what they have and what they don't have. But what would you be telling them? Hey, Corey, you watch us. You played for us. How do you think we should use this time? What's the best way we should go about the rest of our season here with a 1.2% chance of actually being a playoff team?
Yeah. I mean, continue defensively the game plan, right? The past 2 weeks, I think the defensive game plan has been great, right? With the exception of Detroit, those last two drives. I mean, they kind of shit the bed there. But for the most part, these past two games defensively has been solid. Offensively, script a game plan that is catered to Justin Fields and what he can do, his strengths. That's all I want to see in these last 5 weeks. Because the thing is, right, whether or not you keep him or not, that could increase your trade value. And then if not, if you're going to keep him, you know exactly what you have from him, right? Game planning for success. That's the only thing that I hope. They get him on the move. They have him. Because my thing is, like, if you're talking about you want to evaluate, you want to see him, why are you not game planning to see what he can do? If you're scared, don't play him then. I don't understand, right? If he's out there, you got to play him, and you got a script for success for him. If not, put Bajan in there. That would be mine.
Yeah, so he ran it 18 times against the Lions. Mm-hmm. Is that too many?
I mean, I thought they had a good game plan for him. I mean – You look at what somebody like Jalen Hurts does, right? I think they are very similar as far as what they can do with their legs, right? And I always draw that comparison. Like, I think Justin Fields can be like a Jalen Hurts. And you look at his stats. His stats don't woo and wow you. The past couple of weeks, yes, he's thrown a lot of touchdowns and been responsible for a lot of touchdowns, but his stats are kind of pedestrian a little bit, right? The past couple of weeks, 190 yards passing. But the thing is, he limits his turnovers. And what do? They have a really good offensive line. They run a game plan that's conducive to him. And that's what I just wish the Bears would do. And I think that's where they're missing the mark. And I get it. Justin Fields, for a lot of people, hasn't played up to the capability that they thought he would, right? And I think a little bit, some of it's definitely on him. A lot of it's on the game planning. I don't care whatever quarterback was in there. I think with the way the game planning is, I don't think any quarterback would be successful. I don't.
My brilliant man here, Butthead, outstanding moniker. I hate to say it, but I'm all for losing out, except crush the Packers. Fire Flus, hire Harbaugh, and see what Fields is made of. You want Jim Harbaugh here, Woot?
I would love him. Just look at it. Look at his track record with quarterbacks, right? Look at his track record. And I look in particular about a mobile quarterback, right, and Colin Kaepernick, that once he played under his system, he was a Pro Bowler. He's one of the best quarterbacks. He's flexing, Kaepernicking on him. The way they ran that offense, and I talked about it the last week with Braggs, they were one of the hardest offenses to defend, right? Because they run the ball down your throat. And then all of a sudden you think they're going to run hard play action. Tough to get a rush there. All of a sudden the free zone, they got Kaepernick on the move. It was just such a hard offense to defend. And I would love what he'd be able to do and what he'd be if they decided to keep Justin Fields. It's just hard for me because I feel like there's so much talent there, Carm. And the thing is, I just feel like there's so much there. When I look at the Denver game, when I look at the Washington game, I look at the Detroit game, like there is so much talent there and what he can do and what he can bring to the table. But I would love for Harbaugh to come in and give him a year with Justin Fields, right? Allow him to develop him. I guarantee you we'll see different results because why do you think a guy like Tua has had great success with Mike McDaniel? They were ready to toss him to the side. Tua can't play. He sucks. He's this. Mike McDaniel comes in, a true game planner, right? That's able to script for success. Yes, they have Tyreek Hill. But Mike McDaniel is an offensive genius. And what he's been able to do with Tua, I think every quarterback deserves a play caller like that. We're not always going to get that, right? But I think every quarterback deserves a play caller that can script for them, right? You look at what Lamar Jackson, how they catered that offense to him, right? Jalen Hurts, how they've catered that offense to him. There is a correlation to how you run an offense to somebody's strengths and how they perform. That's just facts.
So let me just get this straight. Moot, I'm making you Kevin Warren. You're keeping Ryan Poles?
Yes, I'm gonna keep Ryan Poles for another year, right? I'm gonna see what he's gonna do with this draft. I think I have to make a decision. I think I have to make a decision on the head coaching position, especially the offensive coordinator. I think I gotta make a decision depending on how they finish this year. Definitely the coordinator has got to be out there. But think about this, right? If you have the opportunity to get a guy like John Harbaugh. I think you have to look at that, right? I like what Eberflus has done with the defense the past couple weeks. My thing is like this. If you have the opportunity to get a guy like John Harbaugh, right, or let's say if Sean Payton was available, a coach like him, how would you pass on that?
Right. We're shouting. You're confusing John and Jim. Big Jim Harbaugh. John's not coming over from the Ravens. But
yeah,
Jim,
sorry, Jim.
Yeah, same thing.
Same family.
We get the point. Look, the way you're talking about it is how I want them to do it. From like the Cubs wouldn't have fired David Ross had they not they were Korea, they not been able to get Joe Maddon. So if you're gonna make a change. If you're planning on keeping Justin, then in my mind you're only making a change unless you can get an elite dude. It can't be we fired Flus, we fired Getsy, and we're having some long exhaustive search to find out who's coming in here. You have to have a direct idea of who you want, know that you can get him, already had the conversation, know it's done. Tuesday, Flus is fired, Getsy's out, and Wednesday you're announcing what you're doing. That's how a pro organization would do it. Yeah. So, you know, if you're moving on, if you're moving on from Justin, if you're going to make that move and you want to open it up and you know, I still would like to see it go that way, but then it's a little bit different. But if you are actually going to keep in place what you're doing, you're very, you know, ruthless, direct way. You're out, you're in, we're moving forward, period. And yeah, by the way, that locker room would love it. I bet you they would.
Yeah, the thing about it is, right, so I think back to the draft when Trubisky got drafted, right, with Deshaun Watson, Patrick Mahomes, and all of them. Everyone's like, oh, we should have drafted Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes wouldn't be who he is if he got drafted to Bears. I'll tell you that much. He was in the perfect situation he could be. He was a project coming out, right? And he had a year to sit behind Alex Smith, learn that offense, learn from a veteran guy that came from San Francisco. Everybody tossed to the side and said, oh, he's a game manager. And he's a four-time Pro Bowler, you know, in Kansas City, one of the most efficient passers leading the league and you know, passing yards, touchdowns, this, for a guy that's a game manager. So that's just the impact of coaching, and that's what people fail to realize because, yes, Justin Fields has to get better in certain areas, right? But they're doing him a disservice, Carm, because he is so talented and he hasn't even scratched the surface of what he can be because this staff is limiting him. And I think people fail to realize that because they're like, oh, he sucks. He's this, he's that. Just think about the situation, right? Just think about if some other quarterbacks came to this. I think the only one that maybe had a chance to do well was Deshaun Watson because I think he was the most NFL ready. He's a guy that was a proven winner, that was NFL ready, that had played a lot of games. I think he could have done well in that system, potentially. But all these other guys, Trubisky and company, that are projects, you have to develop him. And that's why I'm just like, pump the brakes on saying Justin Fields need to go. Think about if you're developing a team, right? Offense, defense, that does win championships, right? Obviously, you have to. But look at, for example, right, when Eli Manning won both Super Bowls. Who won the Super Bowls for him? That defense, right? Sure. He had a crazy play to help him out on the helmet and all that, but the defense won that game, right? Justin Tuck should have won the MVP in 07, right? As a younger guy, came in there, completely took over that game, right? Michael Strahan and company. Same thing in 11, right? Von Miller, when he played Cam Newton in them, right? Cliff Averill and the Legion of Boom took out Peyton Manning in them. Defense wins championships, right? Defensive line, a great offensive line. That's why I'm saying, pump the brakes on this. Let's get a coordinator that can call plays, right? That is an offensive genius. Let's build around Justin Fields. Let's build this offensive defensive lines, and let's take this thing to the promised land.
Spoken like a true defensive lineman. I love it. I'm not saying you're wrong either, and especially in the Bears' position here. But let me just quibble with you, Woot. Mm-hmm. The Houston Texans draft C.J. Stroud. Mm-hmm. Houston Texans were garbage last year. They miraculously beat the Colts in the final week of the season. We get the one. They have C.J. Carolina gets it wrong with Bryce Young, at least to this point. Carolina fires Frank Reich this week. Who knows if Bryce could turn it around. I wouldn't rule it out. But C.J. has turned around that team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so – I get that it's a unique dude that you could pick a QB on a roster that is not all the way there and win. But the Bears roster right now, I like what I'm seeing up front, right? Darnell, you're going to keep getting better. Mm-hmm. Tevin, if you can stay healthy, okay. Nate Davis, been a wonky year, but when you're healthy, you seem fine. Yeah, and so you need a center. You need a center. Yep. And I think Braxton's going to be fine. So yep. Now you got DJ, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have
Cole Kmet. You got running backs. You got running backs.
You need another two receivers. And by the way, Darnell Mooney on the Kansas City Chiefs right now, he'd be a 1,000-yard receiver all day long. You're asking a 5-foot 9-inch, 160-pound dude to block people that are 230, and you never throw him the football. If I was Darnell Mooney, I would walk into Luke Getsy's office right now and say, please, 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 I cannot do this. This is who I am. I don't get it. Same thing with Tyler Scott. And now Tyler had trouble hanging on to the football, but I just – anyway, my point, like, that's just a bad fit.
So real quick, when you're talking about CJ Stroud, real quick, right?
Yeah.
Why he's doing well, right? He's playing great, but I don't know if you know much about his coordinator, right? He spent time 6 seasons for the 49ers, right? Bobby Slowick, right? So he is a Mike Shanahan, a Mike McDaniel disciple. So he learned over some, and he was their passing coordinator over there. So I think what we're seeing is another young rising star. Not to take anything away from CJ Stroud, but look how he's called plays for him, right? Look how he's got him confident. There's no 15 swing screens in the game. I'll tell you that. There's none of that. So that's my only thing. What could Justin Fields be if he had a Mike McDaniel, right? What would he be if he had a game planner that could script for success for him and put him in the right position? And that's why I just – you expect to draft a different quarterback and expect a different result. You know what I mean?
I got it. How much have you watched Marvin Harrison Jr., Woot?
Oh, in college? Yeah, he's a beast.
What would you think about that pick? Go ahead.
So my thing is like this. Let's see what we do as far as free agency first, right? See what holes we can – because I think there's two positions on the defensive line that you need to really fill. Right. I think that defensive tackle and defensive emphasis, you got to fill those. Center position is one that we have to fill. I think we could potentially do that maybe in free agency or the draft as well. But I wouldn't be upset with it as long as we addressed one of those other needs on the defensive line. Right. Especially if you know Braxton Jones is your left tackle of the future. Seems like he's playing well and he's getting more consistent and he's getting in there. He's not hurt anymore. If you know what you have in Braxton Jones, you know you got right on the other side. Tevin Jenkins, you know you got him for another year, right? Nate Davis, hopefully when he comes back this year, he'll be healthy, won't be out, won't be missing as much time. You get a center. All of a sudden, you look a lot better. So I wouldn't be mad at that pick just as long as we address some of the other issues on the defensive line. Because think about how great they could be if they get a dominant pass rusher and a three technique. But at the same time, DJ Moore and Marvin Harrison Jr. would be pretty beastly, right? Those two weapons there, added Cole Kmet in the red zone and a security blanket on the scene. Now we're talking a little bit, especially with the running backs that they have as well. I wouldn't be opposed to it, but we just have to address some of the other needs as well.
You and Cole Kmet would get along great, for the record. I don't know if you ever met him, but he's I see a potential Woot Kmet moment in time someday. Hey, Easy E 134, $10 super chat. If the O-line is set minus center and there isn't a D lineman worth drafting top 10, why not go after Marvin Harrison Jr. and Brock Bowers and roll two tight end sets, better for running the ball, and Mooney is probably gone. Thoughts?
Look at Gronk and Hernandez, how they were rocking, right, for years. It's definitely – he can stretch the field as well, Brock Bowers, right? He's a glorified wide receiver. So I'm cool with that, but I think I'd rather have a Marvin Jones – a Marvin Harrison Jr. As opposed to a tight end, in my opinion. But, I just think, man, he's arguably one of the best receiver prospects to come out. So
if they went this route, that LA is putting out their route, keep Pulse, keep Flus. New OC, you okay with that decision if it goes that route? You muted one more time.
You got me now?
We're good.
Okay. I would.
And now somehow you remuted.
Am I good now?
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on here, but after I would dark. Be. I'm good, right? I would be good with that scenario, right? Because okay. I think we can all agree, right? Everybody on the chats, let's light this chat up. Luke Getsy, I'm sorry, man. You like we say in Jersey, this guy out of here, get him out of here, right? I really do. I like old buddy from Penn State.
You like Rashawn?
Very talented. Yeah, okay. I think he's really, really talented. I think the thing is, like, I think Poles really likes Braxton Jones, and I think he's been improving and getting better. So my thing is, you got him for another 2 years, right? Essentially. And especially if you feel confident about him, about going against some of these dominant pass rushers in the league, you got that position for 2 years. So I wouldn't be opposed to it, but then all of a sudden, Braxton Jones, if you feel confident, where are you going to put him? He's not a guard, you know? So
exactly. You draft a left tackle. You can't move Braxton Jones.
No.
You're giving up on him.
Exactly. He's the swing tackle for the next 2 years. Right. Unless somebody trades for him, which I think somebody probably would, because I think he's played well enough, especially in the games he's been. Like, it's hard to find old linemen, right? It really is. I think it's the hardest position in football to find, right? That and quarterback are two of the hardest positions. Because think about from a left tackle, a dominant left tackle, you're on an island against the best pass rushers in the game, one-on-one, they're sliding the protection away from you. You don't get chip help. You're not relying on that. So you got to be a dude. So that's the question I asked the Bears. Is Braxton Jones a dude, right? Is he the guy that you're going to feel confident on sliding protections away from one-on-one, mano-a-mano against a Myles Garrett, against a, you know, the best pass rusher in the league? Is he going to be able to do that, right? And I think only time will tell. I think he's done well, but I think this is the evaluation for a lot of people, you know, on this team.
Yeah, it's fair. People are asking, is Carmen a cubicle? Yes, I am, and it's true. This is my second job. Drew just nailed it. As a telemarketer, I am the dude that answers when you call up at Amazon, and you know, I direct you in the right direction, and I'm elite at it. So CH Joe has afforded me this opportunity to connect with the people. I throw in there that they need to subscribe to CHGO. Amazon doesn't know that I do that, and that's the move. And you muted yourself.
Did I do it again? Am I there?
No, you're good.
Those, I don't know what is going on. You're better. Okay, there's something going on here. I don't know, Carm. This never happens with Braggs. I don't know what you're bringing to the show. You're a telemarketer selling cockies. I don't know what's going on, bro. Hi, this is Mark Carmen. This is the guy. Would you guys like to buy a bunch of cockies?
Listen, I got an elite package of cockies for you. Six pack, and we got you.
Oh.
All right. Well, hey, Woot, give me a grade on you, 1 out of 10. How'd you do on your Thanksgiving?
I did about a 9.5. You know, I'm not a turkey guy at all. I'm a big ham guy. Like the mashed potatoes, the candied yams, you know, mac and cheese, the whole bit, apple pie, you know how it goes. But you should have seen Braggs last time getting at his mother, Barbara. Yeah. Brutal, man. I've never seen nobody talk about their mom's cooking like that. And he's like, what? Her food sucks. I'm like, what?
Yeah, I personally, I would, if I was Barbara, I would demote Gregory. I wouldn't disown him because he is a sweetheart, but I would demote him to, you know, second cousin, something along those lines. And you know, when he calls for help, I would leave him out.
How was your Thanksgiving, man?
So Bragg's actually messaging me right now. Number one, he said if you guys said anything bad about him, to say that he still runs this show. And number two, he says, tell Carm he sucks. So, you go.
The important thing to remember is that I started this show. The important thing to remember is that I got the show off the ground. The important thing to remember is that this show is better when I'm on it. And
Braggs is over here like, well, I don't know what Carm's thinking because I'm this bricklayer. Matt Painter told me that if I just keep trying hard and, you know, I'll be better than Carm.
Yeah. You know, you can try hard all you want, but, you know, there's this thing that they say in the business. It's called talent. And, you know, you just – I mean, John Paxton can shoot all the jump shots he wants. He's not going to be MJ. So, you know, I mean, not to call myself MJ, but
right?
That's right. No, I thought I was the lead at Thanksgiving. I came in I got the Frosty mug going early for the Lions and the Packers. I thought I executed that extremely well. And then I segued into three plates, not two. You know, some people go two. I go three. And I don't leave there without feeling completely sick. So I think that is, you know, that is the whole point. And I was pretty impressed with my performance. But any rate,
what's up, baby?
Who are we looking at? Enrique? Woot, yep. Woot. My man. Yeah,
exactly. You served me, Cram.
Big Jordan. I haven't seen you in a minute. I appreciate you. Hey, Woot, last thing here. I don't know if you did you ever have the pinched nerve? Have you ever had a pinched nerve?
Oh yeah. I got one right now, man. I was golfing when I was back home and I think I swung too hard one of the times and my shoulder and then my lower back right by my QL is all jacked up, man, because I was trying to hit bombs. That's what we do over here. And
how do I get rid of this thing?
So what you have to do is a trigger point there, right? Because the nerve is entrapped. So you got to do a little trigger point therapy and keep under, you know, whoa, chill out. What is, but you got to get that knot out, right? The knot is causing that pinched nerve.
So I need somebody to work this knot.
Why don't you have Braggs do it? I'm sure he would love to do that.
He's too soft. He doesn't have the power. I need real man, or more like preferably real woman if we're being real. But you know, Braggs doesn't have that power. He's got those bricklayer hands too. I don't need that touching me. I need somebody who's like, you know, experienced.
He's got media hands now, so he lotions and moisturizes every 2 seconds. Yeah. You know, I got these media hands, Carm. Hold, you see this spirit finger?
I don't know. I shake that dude's hands way too much. It's I gotta try to get out of there as quick as possible. Man, works hard. I don't know how the family does it, but you know,
yeah.
But that's called love.
The thing is, you're getting ready for your tennis match. You got the brick juice or what?
You know, I have my superfood meal pregame with the sweet potato and the blackened chicken and a little bit of this salad concoction that I do. So, I might hit up a little something energizer smoothie situation, and then old man Morio, whoever the hell is going to be there, is going down tonight. Appreciate you being here for reals.
Yep. Yeah, no, definitely. Last thing before we get out of here, man, I just want to say it, and I said this earlier. The biggest thing I want to see is them let Justin Fields loose, right? Game plan for him, suit to his strengths, and allow him to play. Because if you're throwing a swing screen right, left 17 times, how are you going to fully evaluate what he can do, right? If you're on the fence of what he can do and you're swing screening 15 times, how are you going to evaluate what he can do? Let him play.
So okay, let's end strong then. You're Justin. You just went through this game last night. You're about to go off wherever he's going for his bye week celebration, relaxation, get himself ready for the rest of the season. Are you calling up Luke Getsy before you leave town and be like, hey, I want to talk about this? We cannot. Are you having that conversation or are you just kind of like,
I think they probably already had that conversation whenever they met to watch the film, like whether that's because they probably had. They might have had today. They probably watched the film today. So I guarantee you they probably had a conversation about it. Carm, there's no reason 15 swing screens. That's just stupid. That's stupid at that point. It's nonsense. So it just goes against everything that they're saying. Do you not agree with that, right? You're saying you need to see from him. You need to see what he's like when the game's on the line. And then you do this.
Yeah. I'm just saying, would you encourage him as a guy who played in this league? Dude, advocate for yourself. Let him know.
100%. You know, I think that's what he has to do. I think that's as a quarterback and as a leader of a team, you have to advocate for yourself. If you feel like a play caller is not calling what he needs to do, you need to do it. Because when you're not playing well, he's going to tell you straight up, you're not playing well, right? You got to be better in this area. So you got to keep it 100 with each other. And I think that's the great part of when a quarterback and a coordinator are on the same page, they can have those uncomfortable conversations and they're really not uncomfortable. Because they know deep down, hey, I got to call a better game. That's on me, right? I look at a guy like Kevin O'Connell, right? And just the way he's gone about everything with Josh Dobbs, right? And from the moment he came, and even as bad as he played in that game, right? He was like, there's things I can do better. I had to give him some better plays. And I think that's a leader, right? We obviously know he's the head coach and he's the coordinator, but he's taking accountability for stuff, even maybe when it's not his. So I would just like both of them to take accountability, right? I got to do this better. Hey, I got to call these plays better. Let's work together. Let's get this thing going. Because at the end of the day, Luke Getsy's job is on the line. Justin Fields' job is on the line. Everybody on this team's job is on the line, right? With the exception of a few guys.
Help me help you. Let's all help each other. Let's live this dream.
Yep, let's do it.
Appreciate everybody checking out Bears After Dark. Braggs is back next week. Woot is the best as always. Can't wait to see, whenever you're coming back into town. I can't wait to see you. So,
exactly, my man. Well, good luck in your tennis match and enjoy some whatever you call it afterwards.
Yeah, exactly. You're producing as always. Braggs back tomorrow with Herb Howard at noon. So Baldy will be with us to start the show tomorrow. Everybody have a great rest of your night. Appreciate you watching After Dark. We'll see you next time.
All silly like the mayor.